thought I was headed one way and got back in my office about a little after 5 and it's looking like we headed another way. So I'm not sure how this is going to turn out. But I know just a couple of things the Lord was reminding me of. He's been speaking to me this past whole season or going into this next one. I was in Eucharist this week and just kind of looking at the lights. Of course, it's so much brighter in here, of course. And just really wasn't thinking about anything. That's usually when the Lord speaks to me and just kind of dropped it, you know, about a prophetic sign, these lights. Not just, you know, one of the word we had is just about, you know, beautifying the church. I mean, that's part of it, right? But it's just a time where the Lord just wants to increase revelation to us, right? To turn up the light, so to speak, in our own lives. And because, you know, it's the darkness, you know, you look on Facebook, any place, social media, the majority of stuff that you're going to look at and read is about darkness, right? And Scripture does say that the darkness will get darker, but the promise of the Lord is that also the light will get greater, brighter. You know, when we think about that, we think of, well, that means the kingdom of truth, but truth, right? And but I think it's just personal for us that it's really a time where revelation is there getting brighter for you for your own personal encounter. And second thing he was speaking to me is about just that really in the Song of Solomon, it's just real simple, that make sure that you are tending your gardens, you know, personally for you. And one of the first couple of first revelation that the bride gets, chapter 1, is that she's dark but lovely, right? It didn't take long for that, just the excitement to for the warfare to start. But the second thing is, it said that you've been a caretaker of other people's vineyards, but you haven't taken care of your own vineyard, which means your own walk with God, your own personal walk. That's where we get it, right? That's where revelation, and you know this, I'm going to read a few verses. I left for to eat with TC. I had my Bible open in the New Testament. Get back into my office. It's open in the Old Testament at this place in Jonah, a word that I'd been looking for that I knew there. So I thought, okay, that's what we're going to talk about a little bit. But it's just a few places in the Old Testament, maybe about 10 places where it describes God. And when it describes God, it uses just a few words to describe him. Because of that, I was just thinking, Lord, I mean, books filling up this place can't describe you, but I think it is because he makes it simple, right? And he gives these few words to kind of describe who he is, but because, too, is that everything that we get from the Lord is revelatory. It comes by way of revelation and experience, not by knowledge. So we were in our Tuesday night Bible study. We've been doing kind of a in Christ thing, kind of just hanging on there for COVID, kind of hurt us pretty bad as far as our group and everything. But we just were talking about being in Christ. They thought that'd be a good thing to do. We're doing it here. And then, you know, I was started down this path about being in Christ. And the Lord just kind of took me back to this place of creation, beginning of creation. Scripture talks about in Colossians chapter 1 that all things were created through Christ, right? Read that to you real quick. It's not what we're going to talk about tonight, even though I could. That's actually where I was going to go, but we're going to jump over here and read these few verses. And let me read this for you real quick. He is the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn of all creation. And by him, Christ, all things were created. both in the heavens and on the earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him, through Christ, and for him. He is before all things. That God created everything through Christ, right? Or as we would say, in Christ. This is John, this Gospel of John, the first few verses. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him. And apart from him, apart from Christ, nothing has come into being that has come into being. In him, in Christ, was life. And the life in the beginning was the light of men. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not overpower it, right? So again, Hebrews chapter 1 says the same thing. Just everything referencing to creation, God created, or Jesus was there at creation, right? Speaking. So when Adam was formed out of the dust of the ground, it said that God breathed into him his breath or life. He became a living being or a living soul. When God came into man right there, right? Stuff we've heard all of our lives, we know that. So I was reading that, just kind of going over it last night, kind of rereading it, thinking how cool that is, because in my mind, I never pictured Jesus being there in creation. Think of God the Father, you know, just kind of let there be, and there's just God, but they were all active. I mean, God, the Spirit of God was there. You know, the Father was thinking it, Jesus was saying it, Holy Spirit was doing it, but yet Jesus was there, because, you know, after they fell, they heard him walking in the garden. They heard him coming towards them, right? If it was God the Spirit or Father, not in some kind of physical or bodily form, you're not going to hear somebody walking, right? But I believe it was what you call a Christophany or whatever, just Jesus in the Old Testament, right? Coming looking for them in creation. Saying all that to say, tending your garden is like returning back to creation, what God created it, man to be. Very simple, right? Walking in the cool of the day, spending, hanging out in his presence, tending their garden, because he said he created man, gave, put him in this garden to tend it and to cultivate it. That's you, that's me, that's our walk with him, right? To tend and cultivate this garden. And scripture we use a lot here at Christ the King, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul's talking about, I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, that your minds would be led astray from the simplicity and purity. There's kind of the word of devotion too has been kind of put in there to try to help us understand it. But actually is that your minds should be led astray from the simplicity and purity of being in Christ. Right? Using Eve as a reference to how the enemy tempted her. You know, it's just, hey, it's not experience. You don't have to worry about what he said. It's knowledge, right? You just gain more knowledge. He knows that once you do and you eat of that, you'll know good and evil, right? The same thing that we're hit with, especially over here, you know, just knowledge. When the Lord, I think, is really calling us to really get to know who we are or who we are in Christ or our identity, is going to come from relationship, revelation, walking in the garden with him, tending your garden, right? And we know that, getting to know him. It's not, I mean, I remember that, talking to a guy one time, he's really wanting to get into like this inner healing kind of stuff, and I think he read every book that was out there on inner healing, went to every inner healing conference he could go to. And I'm like, dude, you're never going to learn how to do it unless you just start doing it, right? Just start praying for people, experience it. Get in there. Get your hands dirty, right? I'm going to read these things just about just the character of God and real quick. There's so much we could do here. And this is in Exodus 34. I'm sorry, I don't mean to be drinking so much, but my mouth is just so dry. This is in Exodus 34 where the presence of God is going to pass by Moses, right? And this is what he says. This really is. The Lord passed in front of him and proclaimed, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, he's slow to anger, and he's abounding in loving kindness and truth. Right? Now, this is in Chronicles. This is Hezekiah had this kind of shouted out through the land, this little part here. Now then, do not stiffen your neck like your fathers, but yield to the Lord, enter his sanctuary, which he has consecrated forever. If you return to the Lord, your brothers and your sons will find compassion before those who led them captive and will return to this land. For the Lord God is gracious and compassionate and will not turn his face away from you if you return to him. Right? So they went shouting this throughout the land, returning to the Lord, and the only thing they said is, hey, he's gracious and compassionate. Return to him. This is in Nehemiah. So you got Moses, Hezekiah, and now Nehemiah. This is what he says. But you are a God of forgiveness, gracious and compassionate. You're slow to anger, and you're abounding in loving kindness. And you did not forsake them. This is in Psalm 111. This is David. He has made his wonders to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. This is Joel. Rend your heart, not your garments. Return to the Lord your God. He is gracious and compassionate. He's slow to anger. He's abounding in loving kindness, and he relents of evil. This is in Jonah. Jonah was upset because he knew the Lord was like this. So therefore, in order to forestall this, I fled to Tarshish. For I know that you're gracious and you're compassionate, God. Slow to anger, and you're abundant in loving kindness. And one who relents concerning calamity. Right? A few places like that. Not a lot of them, but all of them kind of say the same thing about who God is, right? Because every one of those words are relational words, right? Word forgiveness is just, it's like this word that means not just a person who forgives, but one who overflows abundant in forgiveness, right? It just like flows out of them. The word gracious, this is pretty cool. The word gracious is used just 13 times. In the Old Testament, right? And the best, you know, we think someone's gracious. We think, well, they're kind, they're good, they're just giving, you know, all that's, yeah, part of that. But part of the Hebrew understanding of that is to be treated like a treasure, like you're a treasure. So God, when he's saying he is gracious, meaning that he treats you as though you're his treasure. You know, and that's the whole thing in the Song of Solomon. You know, all the kind of stuff in there. And, you know, it's a lot easier for girls to kind of get into that than guys. But the whole thing about that is everybody loves to hear good things about themselves, right? God created you that way. And sometimes that's hard for us guys, but if you come away with one thing from that you can know is that how treasured you are personally to God. And one of the last things in chapter 7, He says, you know, that I'm his and his desires for me, right? The whole transition came from encounter. One of my good buddies here, Josh Marcingill, I don't know if you've ever read his book. He's got a book called Encounters, something, this count, Encounters something, blah, blah, blah. And the whole thing is, I really love it because it's all about his encounters with God. He journaled conversations and encounters he had with God that just changed his life and wrecked his life. So he wrote that book. He and I and Bob have done some ministry and healing together, and I really like having him in there because he wants that person that's sitting before us, when we're praying for them, to hear the voice of God and encounter God, right? Well, we can tell them stuff, you can tell them truth, but when it comes down to it, okay, what is God saying to you? Let's hear what the Father's saying. Let's hear what Jesus is saying to you, right? Let's hear the, get the Holy Spirit activated so you can hear the voice of God for yourself. You know, and I've been doing this for 30 years, and that's really true. You know, if a person comes away having encountered God and heard the Lord themselves, it's life-changing, right? You can tell them some stuff or give them some truth that could maybe change their lives a little bit, but the revelation, the encounter, experience the light, revelatory. You know, and then all through the New Testament, and you're reading when Jesus says, you know, he's light. He's, John talks about that even in the epistle of John. God is light, and in him there is no darkness, right? Meaning that he is, and that word is just a real word for unveiling or revealing. He reveals himself. That's who he is. The word compassion, you got gracious and compassionate. The word compassion is used just 13 times. Isn't that cool? The word compassion is a word for to be very merciful, but it's rooted in a word, a Hebrew word that means a womb, right? Kind of relating it to a mother with a baby in a womb, the care that goes into that, compassion, right? Some of these words are just kind of hard to put into the English language, but it's like it comes from God's innermost being of who he is. In the womb flows compassion to you, right? It's interesting that the one that he's slow to, which just means long-suffering, is the one that he that we struggle with the most, that he's angry with us. And that's the one that's used the least, right? He's slow to anger. These other things is who, what makes him up. And then the word loving kindness is it's a Hebrew word, H-E-S-E-D, I said, I guess that. And there's just no English equivalent to that word. You can't put it into any kind of translation because there's no word that exists like this, right? I think that's really cool. But here's some of the things just biblically. Because again, this person I just stumbled across, everything is about, and within that word, everything is about experience, the word. As love and kindness, goodness, God's favor, his mercy, unfailing love, love never fails, faithful love, everything is steadfast love. Everything is action from him, right? Pouring onto you is the word that's loving kindness. So everything about the Lord in those few things in the Old Testament, which is just describing who he is and his character, is all very relational. Very personal, very relational. And the only way that I can get to know his how gracious and compassionate, his loving kindness and his forgiveness and all that is to encounter it and experience it for myself, right? That God did. deals with me. And the reason I think he's getting to our identity is understanding that God deals with me as the new creation, not as two different people, right? Because when I know that God deals with me that way as the new creature, the new creation, who I am in Christ, and he deals with me that way, then and only then will I begin to treat each other as they are in Christ. Like Paul says, I see every man in Christ. Well, I can't see you in Christ if I don't know who I am in Christ, right? But if I know who I am in Christ, then, I see you in Christ. Oh, they're in Christ. They're okay. You know? They were just functioning outside of Christ. And that's kind of where the Lord has been taking me. These, one of these verses, I mean, not just so I can have something to talk about, right? It's like, I'm going to pull you into this thing. I'm going to pull you in. It's going to get brighter. I'm going to pull you into gracious and compassion so you'll know what that is, right? So if you blow it or whatever, you're not beating yourself up so much, or, you know, you're not just struggling with this so much. I'm just going to kind of pull you in. So if you see the Lord doing that at this time in your life, then let him do it. Sometimes the Lord just kind of clears the decks for you, and it's just a season to tend your garden, because that's what he's pulling you in, right? Because we all get to these places where, especially in my job, I'm so used to helping other people tend their gardens, then I don't take care of my own. If you've ever read that story we had in one English class, I think I had in college, of Rip Van Winkle, you know, one of the things he was famous for was helping other people with their houses and fences, but not doing his own, right? His own house falling into disarray, but he was always helping other people build their house. But it's a time here, guys, listen to me, where it's time to tend your garden. It's time to walk with the Lord in the cool of the day. Take that time, right? Hear him speak to you. Encounter him. Right? Let these things that you talk about all the time, everything that's yours in Christ, is not going to come through just reading about it, but experiencing it, encountering it, understanding it, right? In my life, the things that have changed my life more than anything have been moments of encounter with God that was a spoken word that wasn't but a few seconds, right? And I was changed because I encountered his presence rather than just getting every book or literature I can read about it. I was talking to TC about, a good buddy of mine, and we're something, and all the conversation I was having with him, all he was doing was quoting other people, quoting books, just quoting everything we talked about. He would give me 10 or 12 what somebody said about that, you know? And I'm thinking, what's God saying to you about it? You know? That's where I want to be. I mean, that's pretty cool, but I'm kind of in the place in my life. I just want to hear what God is saying to me right now in my life. That's what I need to hear. I don't want to, you know, spend my life seeing what God said to everybody else. I want to hear him. Don't you? I want to encounter. I want to know who I am. I want to know everything that I have in Christ. And it just comes to that. Make sure that we're not being led astray from the simplicity of being in Christ. The simplicity of Adam and Eve were created in Christ. That's about as simple as you can get. God planted them, put them in the garden, came to them, fellowship with them, and that was supposed to be forever, right? Okay, we'll stop there. Is it okay to stop 10 minutes early? Nah. All right, we'll stop there. Well, Lord, I just pray for all of us in our walks with you. Lord, one thing that all of this overrides, I know, is guilt and condemnation. So, Lord, I pray for any person in here. If there's anything, Lord, this is just an invitation, but any kind of guilt or condemnation or any kind of thing that rises up, sin consciousness, Lord, deeper water. And we're going to have greater revelation of who you are. Lord, one word from you, just one spoken word, can just undo years of stuff. So, Lord, may we encounter who you are. You live in us. We're seated with you in the heavenly places to experience everything that you are. So, Lord, for all of us, let it be such an exciting invitation and simple. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, you said, is liberty.